Good to be back with you this morning. We're going to be studying a little different a passage in Luke. But to begin with, I'd like to go back a little bit to what was said last week. Paul introduced us to the 5x5. I think there's still some sitting outside. Ways to read through the New Testament in a year. And I think if you don't have one of those, take a look at it. I would introduce you to another one. There are lots of different ways to read through the New Testament in a year. Another way, there's 260 chapters in the New Testament. So if you just simply put your bookmark in the Bible and read through a chapter a day, you can easily get through the New Testament in a year. And if you miss a day or so here or there, you're okay. You've got a little bit of margin there. So go through the 260 chapters. And most chapters are about a page. It doesn't take much time. And you might just mention this to somebody. Just think about somebody that you work with or that you come in contact with and mention that you're reading through. Because a lot of times you mention the Bible and somebody says, well, I know what the Bible says. And then you say, well, have you really ever read the Bible? And nobody can read the Bible. Nobody can understand it. And they're really thinking about some old Bible they've got on the shelf, probably a King James, that is written in Old English. And the trouble is most of us don't read Old English very well. And so you might just say, well, have you ever read the Bible through in a modern translation, like we read today? And you might just introduce it. We have in our library lots of copies of the New Testament. They're sitting on a shelf. We've got probably 100 of these. And so if you meet someone this week and you mention reading through the Bible and they say, you know, I might, but, you know, I just can't understand my Bible, give them one of these. I'm not saying give them just anyone, but someone that shows an interest in reading through the Bible, give them a copy if they don't have a good copy. We have plenty of these and we can get more of them if we need them. But try to introduce the idea of reading through the Bible both to yourself and to your friends. So think about that this week. I'd like to bring this out. And this is a proverb that was shown to me this week. Well, notice what it says. It's because you rejected knowledge and did not choose to respect the Lord. You did not accept my advice and you rejected my correction. You will get what you deserve. You will get what you plan for others. Fools will die because they refuse to listen. They will be destroyed because they do not care. But those who listen to me will live in safety and be at peace without fear of injury. Those are the promises just from listening to the Lord's word and putting it into our lives. And so think about that this week. Both in ourselves to read through the Bible, New Testament this year, and even introducing that thought to one of your friends to read through the New Testament this year. This morning, we're going to take a look at a couple parables, actually one this week and one next week, in Luke chapter 16. And of all the parables of the Bible that I've read or studied, these are probably the two most misunderstood and maybe the hardest to understand. Especially the one we do this week and the one next week, the one that the end of chapter 16, I've heard whole sermons preached on this parable that don't even touch upon the message of the parable itself. And you might find that a little strange, but go through and read chapter 16 of Luke. We'll be taking a look at the first one this morning. And this one has to do with the idea of money. A lot of times when people say, well, you're going to preach about money, he just wants the church to give more. This is not about your giving to the church. This is about how you use your money, the things that the Lord has given you. A lot of times in our lives, we like to put things in compartments. We think, well, this is my work compartment. And this is my church compartment. And this is my family. And we like to what this happens over here, what that happens over here, and this happens over here, that's different from this. And what this chapter says, you can't do that. Your life is one. And what you do over here affects what you do over here. You can't put parts of your life on little shelves and think, well, I can do this over here and I can take care of this over here differently. You can't do that. Our lives are one. And everything you do affects what you do. We even, in our Sunday school class today, we brought out the idea of a lot of times what we do affects a lot of other people, that we don't live in like a little vacuum. But sometimes we like to think our lives, I can do this over here and I can do this over there, and it's separate. And what Luke chapter 16 brings out, that's just not true. Your life is one, and what you do in your life affects all of your life. And one of the things that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 16 is money. And a lot of times we go, well, we're not supposed to preach about money. You know, Jesus talked about money more than any other single subject. Why would that be? Well, what affects us probably more than any other single thing? Money affects everything we do. It's one of the major causes of divorce. It causes stress in our lives, the misuse of money. So it stands to reason, I think, that Jesus would talk about money. A few months back, we looked at the parable of the sower. You remember the farmer goes out and sows the seed representing the Word of God, and how that seed grew in some people and some people it didn't. You remember why it didn't grow in some people? Jesus brought that out. He said the deceitfulness of wealth. This is wealth, the idea of actually money itself, deceives us. Sometimes it gives us the idea, well, if I just had this, then I'd be happy, whatever this is. But you get that, and you realize you just need one more of this, that you never have enough. And that's the way money deceives us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, don't lay up treasures on earth. Why? Well, he brings out moth and rust destroy. They're only temporary, and they can even be stolen by a thief. The things of this world, whatever treasures we have, they're just temporary. They don't last. Paul brings out in the letter to Timothy that often desire for money can cloud our judgment. He says, many have wandered from their faith because of their desire for riches. You go back to the Ten Commandments. The first of the Ten Commandments are about our relationship to God. The next set are our relationship with each other. But the very last one, and some authors actually say it almost covers them all, the Ten Commandments said, God says through Moses, do not covet. Now, covet maybe is a word we don't use, but it simply means to desire what's not yours. To look at what somebody else has and envy it or want it. It's always that idea of wanting something more than what you have. Never being satisfied with what you have. That idea, I just have a little bit more, then everything would be okay. That's to covet. And that sums up the Ten Commandments. Look with me now in Luke chapter 16. And we're going to take a look at a parable. It's one of those parables, like I said before, that sometimes causes us trouble. And there's a couple of things in the parable that sometimes we say, well, did Jesus really say that? Look at the parable with me again. This begins in chapter 16, and beginning in verse 1. He said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was wasting his possessions. And he called him and he said to him, what is this I hear about you? Turn in your gown of management. You can no longer be my manager. Guy's getting fired. There's something we can kind of sympathize with when you've gone through maybe a layoff or maybe lost a job for some reason. But notice a couple of things here. Jesus starts off, there was a rich man. It's amazing how many parables he starts off with that exact phrase. There was a rich man. In some translation, there was a certain rich man. And then the parable flows from that. Here's a man that was called in, was the manager of the guy's estate, and he says, you know, you're doing a bad job. You're fired. You're out of here. And there's an interesting word in there. He says, you wasted my possessions. That's the same word that was used for the prodigal son. A couple of weeks back, if you remember, Chad was here, he preached on the prodigal son. And this was a young man that asked his father for his inheritance. And he took that inheritance and he went to another country and wasted it. And the word is the same word here. This man wasted, sometimes squandered. It actually comes from the word to scatter. If you ever had something and it spilt and everything just scattered out on the table in front of you, maybe a bowl of cereal. I've done that with cereal before. It just goes everywhere. You got to try to rack it back up and get, and you can't quite get it all back in sometimes, because sometimes some went on the floor or whatever. That's the word here. He scattered his possessions so that, you know, he just sort of wasted them. And that's what he's accused of. He was a bad manager. he loses his job. But the story doesn't end there. Notice what he does now. The next part, and the manager said to himself, "What shall I do? Since my master has taken my management away from me, I'm not strong enough to dig." Now, by digging just means manual labor. "I'm ashamed to beg." He's too proud for that. "I've decided what I will do so that when I am removed from my management, when I really lose my job, people may receive me into their houses." So summing his master's debtors one by one, first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, "Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Cut it in half." Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and make it 80. So the master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the sons of light. And I tell you, make friends of yourself by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, you may be received into eternal dwellings." Now, it's this last part that sometimes causes us trouble. The master commended the dishonest manager. Well, take a look at that. And even the last part, that use unrighteous wealth to your advantage. These are words that we don't usually think of in good connotations. And so we'll take a look at what is Jesus getting us to see in this parable. Well, first, think about the manager. He gets fired from his job. Now, that's something that's happened probably to some of us here. You've gotten laid off or fired. There's different times when companies merge and things happen and jobs are eliminated. But how do we handle those things? I've known a number of people that have worked for companies that have merged together, and they're going to lay off basically half the people. And they tell the people that in 2 or 3 months we're going to downsize. And so many of the people just go their merry way until that day. They don't do anything about it. What did this man do? He immediately sort of took stock of where he was. He was willing to change. So often you see people, they get tied up in money problems, and they don't change. They can see disasters coming. I mean, maybe they were piling up bills on credit cards or whatever, but they don't change. They just continue down that road until they go off the cliff. This man took a look for where he was, and he realized that he had to change. His first thing he did was, "What am I going to do now? I'm not just going to wait to get fired. What can I do now?" And so he took stock of where he was. And the second thing he does is he takes a look at, what do I still have? He says, "I'm not really in good shape, or maybe just lazy. I'm not going to go out there and manually get a job, manual labor. I'm not going to do that. That's not a real good option for me." And the second one, he didn't really want to go beg. Well, I can kind of understand that. Doesn't seem like a real great thing to turn to either. But he said, "There is something I can do. I still have a job now. I am still the manager." We don't know for how long he was going to still be the manager, but he was still the manager. And so what does he do? He basically makes friends of all the credit of the people that owed his master money. He cuts their one of them billed in half. He cuts the other one way down. Was that a good thing to do? Well, he's called a dishonest manager. Some say, well, maybe just took out his own commission, but this parable doesn't say that. Parable doesn't say in any way that what he did was honest. What he did was he had been wasting and cheating his master. Well, he just continued to waste and cheat his master, but now he did it for his own good. He used the resource that he had, which was his job, for his own advantage. And that's what he does. And notice what Jesus says to him. He says, the manager says to him, and that's another thing you can take a look at parable. A lot of times we always think the rich man represents the Lord. And in this parable, I don't think that's true. The manager really represents the way of the world. And he's saying, according to the ways of this world, this guy acted shrewdly. He did a good thing for himself using what we might call the principles of this world. And what Jesus is saying, those sons of light, he calls us the sons of light. We don't always do that. We don't act shrewdly. We don't take stock of where we are. And we don't use the resources we have as we should. And notice what he says. He says we need to use, he uses the term unrighteous wealth. It really just means that wealth itself, money itself, is neither good nor bad. It's just money. And we're called to use the money we have as best we can. We're not to squander it. We're not to waste it. We're to use it. And he says, if you use it generously now, you're paving your way for your eternal home. But that's how you use your money now. And so what Jesus is saying, how you use the things I give you now will determine, or at least will play into, where you spend eternity. You can't separate the two. You can't separate your material life, so to speak, from your spiritual life. If there's nothing else you see in the parable today, you can see that idea. That how we use the material possessions we have affects our spiritual being as well. Look at what Jesus goes on to say in Luke chapter 16. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. If you then have been faithful in unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And this is really, this section is really, I think, where the whole chapter revolves around. And we'll take a look at it more even next week. But the idea sometimes is that this is just a little thing, it doesn't matter. And I can go over and do this and it doesn't affect anything. Jesus says the littlest things that you do affect all of your life. You cannot put your life into compartments. You can't say, well, this doesn't affect that. Jesus says it all affects you. And so if you're dishonest, and if you want to tell just a little fib over here and don't think it affects over here, you're wrong. Everything you do affects who you are. Whether or not you're honest or truthful in the very smallest things, then you will be in the larger things. It all goes together. You cannot segregate your life. And that's what sometimes we want to try to play those games and try to play that. And Jesus says you just can't do it. If you want to get the real blessing from the Lord, be faithful in all that the Lord has given to you. The very little or the very much. It's all the same. And in some ways you can think about it as being all the same with the Lord. Do you think it matters to the Lord if you give Him $1 or $1 million? I mean, the Lord doesn't really need any of our money, does He? He needs our hearts. Or that's what He wants. And that comes down to being faithful in all that we have. Whether or not it's a little or a lot. It means everything. We cannot be dishonest or untruthful in little things and not think it affects everything that we do. And it has the idea of looking at all that we are. Look over with another proverb. We started with this one this morning, but Proverbs 17, it may not be the easiest one to understand. He said, the discerning sets his face towards wisdom, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. Now, what the fool is doing is he's just looking at those things around him. By the ends of the earth, he says, you're just looking at what you have right now. But the wise man looks at the whole picture. And see, sometimes we get so tied up in our day-to-day activity. I want this, and I want it now. Or I've got to have this, and it's the first thing we've seen. You know, we see things, and we want them right away. Years ago, I came upon a story. They had built a factory, I think it was in Mexico, but it was in one of the South American countries. And everything was working pretty good until a couple months in, these guys were getting their salaries, and they weren't going back to work. They gotten paid, and they got paid on Friday, and on Monday, nobody went back to work. And the foreman went out to find out why. He said, well, I got enough money. I can do whatever I want to do. Why do I need to go back to work? And so the foreman was thinking, how am I going to get these guys back to work? So he brought, this was some time ago, he bought like a Sears catalog or any kind of a mail order catalog, and he gave it to the guy. And said, look at all this stuff you can buy. Well, now he had a reason to go back to work, so he could buy all this stuff. He never had that stuff before, never really knew that stuff existed, never wanted any of that stuff, but now he had been shown it, he wanted it. And that's where sometimes we are. We see the things around us, and immediately we want them. Everything we see is sort of whatever, the ends of the earth. And we get so tied up in those little day-to-day things that we lose sight, as the parable says, discerning wisdom to look past those little transient things that we have. Notice the next scripture is one that I've always quoted quite a few times from 2 Corinthians. Paul says, our light momentary affliction. Here he talks about all the problems we have in this world. And we do have problems from time to time in this world. Our light and momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look forward not to things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient or only temporary. But the things that are unseen are eternal. One of the ideas that here Paul is bringing to the Corinthians is, don't just look at the things around you and these are the things that you think are so real. But everything you can see in your eyes, everything around us, are just temporary things. All these things are going to pass away. This whole world is going to pass away. These things don't last. Think about and cast your eyes and your thoughts on those things that really matter. The eternal things in our lives. So often we want to look at the material and think, if I just had more material, if I can just get material blessings, everything will be fine. And we lose sight of the spiritual. And it's the spiritual that lasts. That's eternal, not the material. And so often we lose sight of that. We live in this world, and it's hard living in this world not to view things the way the world views things. The last passage is the one that we had in the scriptures today. It goes back to right after the parable. And notice what Jesus says. I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, you may be received into eternal dwellings. Now, in some ways, this passage may be not the way we would have worded it, and we may not think about it, but what Jesus is just saying is use your possessions that you have. Be generous with those. Don't waste them. Be generous what you have, because it affects your spiritual being. You cannot separate your material life from your spiritual life. That's really the heart of what Jesus is telling us. And don't think that you can. That you can do this with your material blessings and think that your spirit's going to be okay. Use those things that God has given you. Be a generous people. One of the things in the Sermon on the Mount is brought out throughout Scriptures. We serve a generous God. He's generous to everyone. He gives us blessings. He sends the rain on the wicked and the just. He gives blessings to us all. We need to be a generous people. And to be a generous people comes down to the idea of managing what we have rightly. Not wasting it, not squandering it, not scattering it around, but using it wisely so that we have that to share with others. We need to be good managers of what we have, because it affects our spiritual eternity. That's how Jesus ends this. How you use those material possessions that you have for other people affects your eternal being. That's going to be, even next week, we're going to look at the next parable that goes into that even fuller. That how we use our material blessings, those things that God has given to us, affects our eternal souls. You cannot separate the two. And that's what the message is this morning. We need to realize we don't live for this world. We live for eternity. That's brought out over and over again in Scriptures. There are times in this world that we get tied up in this world. But we don't live for this world. We live for eternity. And we need to keep that in mind. And this passage brings out the idea that our material blessings have an effect on our spiritual being. We need to be a generous people in all that we have. And that means that we need to manage what we have correctly. And it's just shrewdly even. We need to think about those things and not just waste what we have on ourselves. We're called to be a generous people. This morning we've introduced the idea in Luke chapter 16. This week, if you have a chance, go through and read the whole chapter. We're going to finish up next week with the second half of Luke chapter 16. But this whole chapter has the idea of rightly using those material blessings that God has given us. He's blessed us beyond what most of us could ever imagine. If you look at how every one of us lives and how somebody would have lived even just 100 years ago, it's amazing the difference. And the things that we take for granted, like, you know, we can't even live without air conditioning. You know, 100 years ago, no one had air conditioning. You realize that? Even a king of England or somebody didn't have air conditioning. And so even the smallest things that we take for granted, even people just a few years ago did not have. We've been blessed beyond our imaginations. And we need to be a generous people with that which the Lord has blessed us with. This morning, if you've never started your walk with the Lord, it'd never be a better time than this morning to do so. If you need to come to the Word in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing.